Good morning, men. It's good to see you all this morning. This is an interesting time of the year for us because we are we're in our fundraising season. So this is going to be the last day that we're going to talk about money. Okay, and then we're going to get back to our regular program. All right. So let me just do this because I'm pretty excited about this. I wasn't sure what was going to happen in this economy they're in right now. People sometimes are holding their money tightly, but God is good. I don't know why I ever doubt the Lord, but this year we are $214,000, which is absolutely fantastic. So that's good. You know, we started something a few years ago. We renamed this table challenge after our founder, Chris White. And so I'm going to announce the winners of the table challenge this morning. Would that be okay? All right, and the prize is this coveted little trophy, and I'll have your names embossed on it for, all of time until the Lord returns, probably. But anyways, that's what the table trophy looks like. All right, let's do this. All right, I'm going to announce the highest amounts raised per table. Would that be okay? All right, coming into third place, Colin White's table, $18,250. Colin and crew, thank you so much. Earl Young, coming in second place, $20,100. Thank you, Earl and your crew, for such generosity. And first place in total dollars, Sandy Sanford. Sandy and your crew, thank you so much. $31,520. It's just amazing. Thank you. All right, here is the percent of total. That's how the contest works, the highest percent per table. So two of the tables are here, and one of them is in Brentwood, Tennessee, which is very exciting to me. All right, coming in at third, Sandy Sanford also, 143% of gold. So thank you, Sandy and crew, 143% of gold. Nice work. And then we have Larry Corbett, 198% of gold. Ben Bullock's table, our young guys, who show up normally halfway through the talk. You know, it's seasons of life, you know. They have young kids to get to school and things like that, so they roll in a little bit later. 191%. And up in Brentwood, Tennessee, Tom Eberly, 179% of gold. So number one this year is Larry Corbett's table at 198% of gold. So Larry Corbett and crew, very nice job. Thank you so much for your generosity. If anybody left a putter cover out at the day of golf, there it is. All right, let's transition into what we're actually here for. Why don't you open your Bible to the book of Exodus, because that's where we're going to be for a little while this morning. We spent a little time doing some other things, so this might be a little more brief than the normal, but that's what we're going to do this morning. Exodus chapter 18. We are talking about this relationship between Jethro and Moses. I think most of you are familiar with that story. We'll talk about it a little bit this morning. Let's just stop and pray for a minute and thank God for his perfect provision. You know, we sometimes miss opportunities to recognize how God blesses, how he provides, and how he's providing, has provided financially. Father, we thank you. Oh, I don't want to miss the opportunity to put up my prayer of thanksgiving and worship to you. Thank you for this $214,000 that you have given to us through your men. I thank you for the generosity of each and every man. Thank you for every gift. Regardless of the size, Father, it's the intent of the heart that you look at. And for the men here who have benefited from what we do at Friday Morning Miss Fellowship and bless us in return for it, I just want to say thank you. Father, you are the God that owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills, and we recognize that. And so this morning, Father, we just thank you for every good and perfect gift that comes down from you, our Father of light. And so we pray this in your Son's name, in whom we believe. Amen. Amen. So at some point, Jethro said to Moses, "This is not good. Moses, this is not good, what you're doing and what's happening." And so Jethro, as you know, was Moses' father-in-law. When Moses fled Egypt, he went out into the desert and he ran into Jethro and he married one of Jethro's daughters and he worked for Jethro for 40 years as a shepherd. And then God chose Moses to return to the land of Egypt to free the Israelites. And Moses, through a fascinating story, if we all have heard about, read, and maybe even seen on TV, the Israelite nation was freed from Egypt and they wandered in the desert. They eventually got back out to Sinai, where Moses was reunited with Jethro. He was reunited with his wife and his two sons. And so this relationship between Jethro and Moses is a fascinating one, because we can see that Moses really respected Jethro. As a matter of fact, when he was reunited with him, we read in Exodus that Moses actually knelt down before Jethro out of respect for him. So there was a terrific relationship with his father-in-law before he left and when he returned to see him. And so Moses, you know, interesting character, was given one of the most challenging jobs, I think, in Scripture, to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and he did. So Moses gets back to Jethro. He's got the nation of Israel, you know, some people say 600,000 people, some people say 3 million people that he's shepherding and listening to their complaining and seeing that they're sometimes not appreciative of what God has done for them. But there are two things that happens here that we want to talk about this morning with regard to mentoring. Remember we said mentoring is critically important. Mentoring is getting alongside a younger man and helping him in his walk, helping him develop into the kind of leader that he needs to be. So today we're going to look at two aspects of that. We're going to look at worship and thanksgiving, someone modeling that for other men. And we're going to look at this idea of delegation, delegating leadership. And we're just going to get right into Scripture here and we're going to look at it. Look at Exodus 18, verse 8. 18, verse 8. Look at this. Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them in their journey and how the Lord had delivered them. Verse 10, so Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now, Jethro says, now I know that the Lord is greater than all gods. Indeed, it has proven them. It was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. And here's what Jethro's response was. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God, and Aaron came with the elders of Israel and ate the meal with Moses' father-in-law. So what did Jethro do? What was his response to the story that Moses told him? You know, Jethro was a priest of Midian, right? These priests of Midian, they worship idols and things like that. But we see in here that something happened in Jethro's life. The old Jewish writings called him Gershel Emet, which meant a convert to the truth. So here is Jethro at some point in time worshiping idols, but now he sees something happen here. And what does he say? Now I know that your God is the true God. And Jethro's response is amazing. Here's a guy that says, we're going to stop. We're going to stop everything we're doing, Moses, because this story you've told me of how God has saved his people, has provided for his people, is absolutely incredible. And the only thing that Jethro could think to do is say, blessed be the Lord, we're going to stop and we're going to worship. We're going to thank God for everything he has done for your people. And so he built an altar, and they sacrificed like the ancient Israelites did. So what does that tell us from a leadership perspective? How should a leader demonstrate to the people around him gratitude? Should he get into situations where he knows that God answered prayer and just ignore it? Or should he stop and recognize God's provision publicly before his people, so they are taught, so they see how a leader responds to what God does in their life? The public appreciation for what God does, I think, is a tremendous leadership example. And it's something that we can do as we mentor the men around us. Obviously, I stopped and prayed on purpose as an illustration for this morning. I've been doing it all week, and I did it this morning also. But do you guys think about how you respond to the work that God does in your life? Do you think about how you respond to the answered prayer? As you think about that, do it publicly. Renee and I were always very, very, very overt about how we thank God for the blessings in front of our children. You know, we spent 20 years as faith missionaries working in Africa. And I tell you, as your faith missionary, you're not working for an agency that sent you a paycheck. Sometimes it gets a little thin. But God always would come through for us. I can remember one time, and this is a true story, guys. One time, we had about $20 in our checking account. I had no idea how I was going to pay our bills. And so I gathered my family up, and we prayed. The next day, there was a knock on our door, and some lady who I have never seen before handed me an envelope. She said, "Are you Mark Maynard?" I said, "Yes." She handed an envelope. She said, "Be blessed," and walked off. And I opened it up, and it was $2,000. And so what did we do? We had trusted the Lord, we gathered our family together, and we prayed, and we thanked Him for it. My youngest daughter, Hillary, this is what she says about that experience. She said, "Dad, I kind of gone all the way. Some of the girls I was hanging around with, you know, wanted me to do all kinds of things." She said, "When I saw how God answered your prayers, that's when I knew that God was real, and I wanted to be a believer." And so the public outpouring of gratitude to God in front of your family, in front of those around you, is extremely important. It's a big part of the mentoring relationship. We saw Jethro, who had been a pagan, you know, priest, turn from his sin and become a follower of God when he saw that example of what God had done for Moses. It's extremely important. So the public worship is really important. Number two, this is interesting also. This is the second thing we're going to talk about. And this is the idea of delegation of leadership. Now listen to this, verse 13, chapter 18. "And it came about on the very next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood before Moses from the morning until the evening. Now when Moses, his father-in-law, saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this thing you're doing for the people? Why do you alone sit in judgment of all the people and stand about you from morning until evening?' Moses said, 'Well, you know, the people come to inquire of God.'" Verse 17, "Moses' father-in-law said to him, 'This thing that you are doing is not good.'" Now this is a beautiful example of mentoring, isn't it? Here the father-in-law, you know, has great love for his son-in-law. He's watching what Moses is doing. And in his spirit he says, "My son-in-law is going to wear himself out. This is not good what he's doing." And so he goes to Moses as a confidant, as an advisor, and said, "Moses, you can't continue this. You're going to wear yourself out." Moses' father-in-law said to him, "The thing that you're doing is not good. You are surely going to wear yourself out, both yourself and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." Boy, what a compassionate father-in-law who would say that to his son. "Now listen to me. I'm going to give you counsel, all right? The mentor is giving counsel to the mentee. And God be with you. You be the people's representative before God." And he instituted this system of judges, didn't he? Over this many people, and then over that many people. And so what was going on? This mentor was looking. He was watching. He was observing what was going on in the life of his son-in-law. And the principle for us is the same, isn't it, men? We should be watching those around us that we care for. We should be seeing what's going on in their life, and you can't do that unless you're involved with them, right? And so as we watch and we pray, we sometimes have the opportunity to say, "You know, Mark, what you're doing is not good." I had two buddies of mine at one point in my life, and I was doing something that I shouldn't have been doing. I was about to do something I shouldn't have been doing. And these guys cornered me on a patio outside of a condominium one time, and they both said, "Mark, don't do that. Don't do what you're planning to do. It's wrong for you, and you're going to regret it later." And boy, was I pissed off. I was angry with these guys, but it didn't take me too long for clarity to come and for me to say, "Wow, these buddies really love me. They're watching what's going on in my life, and they're warning me off. They're telling me not to do something that I was about to do." And boy, I'm telling you, I love them for it now, because it would have been a big mistake in my life. They were watching. They were mentoring me. They were helping me to be the kind of man I wanted to be. So two examples from this Moses and Jethro relationship, the example of in mentoring of public worship, public gratitude, and displaying that for other men around you and for younger men. And the second is a delegation of leadership, because, you know, Jethro wanted to see an improved organizational design in the camp of Israel, because he knew it was going to be good for everyone. Now, how do we apply this to our lives? I think the only way you can apply it in your life is if you're mentoring someone, right? Sometimes it can happen casually, but most of the time not, because you have to be close enough to someone to see what's going on in their life. So this series is all about the power of and, right? Mark and Todd, I'm mentoring Todd. Mark and Pedro, mentoring this young guy called Pedro. And the only way I can do a good job is to get close to them and be transparent with them and them transparent with me. So we are hopeful that as we teach, and this is a teaching series, isn't it? As we teach you about mentoring or remind you good mentors about how to be a good mentor, that you'll pray about someone to mentor. What's it going to be? Can and who? Charlie and who? Who's your and? That's the question. I hope that you're very thoughtful and prayerful about it, because as we said last week, 75% of leaders out there in the marketplace want a mentor, and only 37% actually have one. So there's a great need for mentors. And you know what kind of mentors there's a need for? Christ-centered mentors. Men who mentor from the Bible. Not secular mentors. There's a lot of those. But men who understand the value of the Word of God and how it can transform a man's life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to dig into your Word and see how you have put men together in relationship, like Jethro and Moses, Paul and Timothy, and some of these other relationships that we're looking at. Thank you for teaching us through your Word. May we be faithful and obedient to put into practice those things that you teach us. Again, thank you for your faithfulness and your perfect provision. We pray this in your Son's name. Amen and amen. All right, have a good time at your tables, men.